Hi, I'm Mark Boris. Every single day in Australia, people are busting their guts in starting and running their own businesses. It's a big deal. 60% of Australians are hired by small to medium-sized business owners. These guys are doing their bit, buying stock, hiring people, and paying their taxes. So what is it like to start your own business? How do you go from just running a business on the side after work to owning something much bigger? How do you make it your future? Join me on The Mentor, a weekly show on Podcast One where I speak to Aussie business owners who are working through just that. I find out what makes them tick. I help them work out their next steps for their growth and for their future.
The Mentor with Mark Burris. Listen now at podcastone.com.au or download the Podcast One app.
Good afternoon, family. Tuesday edition of The Rush Hour, and the great man and myself are here present in town. Level 13, still no Murph. Up north, being Croc Dundee, still trying to be Mick and getting out there and about and wrestling Crocs and doing all that sort of stuff. That means Hazy is still back behind the wheel. Hazy, great to see you.
It's good to be here. Thanks for having me, boys.
I tell you what, right now, if Hazy was really switched on, turn your phone down too, please, Jess. A little bit of Zoolander. He's a very, very attractive man, isn't he?
Told you, Luke.
He's a good-looking unit. You will be on the posters, Hazy. Well done to you. Murph, I've got some dirt on Murph.
Have you?
There is stuff coming through via the sources out of the top end about what Murph's been up to. I'm just going to give you a snippet right now. Apparently, was super keen to get onto DSL Sunday Style, which, by the way, you weren't on.
No, I wasn't, Lou.
How come?
I was on holidays, Lou.
I wouldn't have thought.
Hang on, you were on holidays too.
I still work footy.
Yeah, but you're a caller.
I've actually put in an official complaint.
What?
How can you take holidays? Your leave was rush hour.
And DSL.
There is that. So you still
Jacko Trango filled in and did a marvellous job. So he can do that gig if he wants.
So we had to pay him?
Yes, we did, Luke.
And you still got paid?
Yes, I did, Luke.
How the hell are you managing this?
Well, that's just how it works
sort of
in this industry, Lulu.
I am just gobsmacked. Anyway, getting back to Murph and the dirt files.
Yeah.
It was alleged, or confirmed.
Just go alleged.
I think it's been confirmed. Okay. And thankfully the powers to be knocked it on the head. He rang through on Sunday and offered his services to do a match report from the Crows game in Darwin because he was up there.
That is just disgraceful news.
Fanboy.
That is just disgraceful news.
I don't know
what
if I need
wrong
to point this
boy
out, but for Triple M up there, rockin' footy, we had Mark Ricciuto.
Yeah, we had the best team going around.
Chris Dittmer.
Yeah.
We even had the great man, Dan Lonergan. We had...
I don't know who Dan is.
Basil Zemplis. I mean, there was probably, at a conservative guess, 25 people we probably could have gone to first before we asked for Murph in the match report. I mean, where is he getting at?
I don't know where he's heading.
I mean, where is Kane? Where is Kane Corns when you need him?
Oh, don't.
And needs to start tweeting.
Don't.
I think Murphy's getting ahead of himself.
Come on, mate.
At Kane Corns.
We got a big show on tonight.
And speaking of Kane Corns, have you seen the latest tweet?
No.
That he sent out to Kelly Slater when he broke his foot surfing?
No, what was it?
And he bent it back so far.
Yeah, saw that.
Yeah, Kane said he has a tendency to exaggerate his injuries. I mean, honestly, is anyone safe from at Kane Corns at the moment?
No.
And I certainly won't be when he bails me up in the lift next Friday night at the footy.
1v2 Friday night. Cats are coming to town and we're going to find out whether the Crows have got the antidote to actually get the job.
So we've lost the last five against Geelong. Yeah. They've exposed us in some areas during the game, haven't they, in terms of that plus one, locking down our best on-baller.
Yeah, and just doing a couple of things and just being damn hard to beat.
Very
and play
defensive,
against.
Yeah.
The issue right now, though, is we could be without two of the biggest stars in the game on Friday night. Patrick Dangerfield with that foot bone bruising. He's going to be in some serious doubt to get up with such a short break. And, of course, Rory Sloane, who got concussed on the weekend, knocked out and... That is the bigger issue that I want to talk about right now. A lot of conjecture being thrown around with the concussions, sort of really front of mind these days in the AFL. Mm-hmm. Everybody's watching, looking for doctors are doing wonderful things. Clubs are being very responsible. But Sloane appeared to be pretty good at the end of the game last week and had his faculties together and by all accounts has passed his first lot of his concussion testing and baseline. Yep. And I think we'll be probably put his hand up to play. Do you think he should play on Friday night versus the Cats?
No. He should not.
Why not?
Because he got knocked out. He was fair dinkum knocked out, Lou. All right? He didn't get a little drive-by and then it just got the bit of the staggers, even though he still had awareness around the game. He was completely knocked out. And then it was horrible watching him trying to get up and then, you know, trying to get on the stretcher. They tried to get him on the stretcher. He pushed away the doctors, which I don't like. Yep. I don't like that look.
No.
But no. Dom Pike should rule him out on Friday night.
Because the big question here is...
Do you think
is,
he should play?
Well, I think I'm moving now towards that the AFL needs to step in here and make a blanket mandatory policy.
Right.
That if you get concussed or, you know, the doctors have come back and it goes on the sheet, you've got concussion, you have to sit out the game, you don't play next week.
Yep.
End of story.
Yep.
Because... AFL's got a great responsibility, and I know I often mock them because they are the try and be a community leader on everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I think on this one they can lead the way. We've seen what's happened in the NFL over there, and that's a different type of sport to ours, much bigger collisions and bangs and that. But I think you could easily pass the test, and Joel Selwood's probably your greatest example in recent times. Clean knocked out, didn't even get on a stretcher, ran off, and everybody applauded and thought it was great. Mm-hmm. Passed all his tests, went to Sydney, but didn't play.
Yeah.
Now, it's good enough for Joel Selwood to sit one out.
There you go.
I reckon he's your bench line.
Well, there you go. That's enough for me.
Your benchmark right there.
You won me there.
Because the other one is, and Wayne Carey made a great point on Talking Footy last night, and he says there is a slight little loophole that players know about.
Players, they automatically think once they get on the stretcher dust that that is going to inhibit them playing the next week. So it's almost like if I walk off now, there might be some chance of me playing. That's what they're thinking straight away.
Wayne Carey talking footy, Channel 7 last night.
He's correct.
And Sloane's is the great example.
Yeah. Joel Selwood, when he got knocked out down there at Kidinia Park.
So I just thinking, no medical training whatsoever, I could only imagine that if you were to get another hit the next week, doesn't matter how innocuous it was, if it was just enough and you were to be concussed again, a concussion on top of a concussion can't be a great thing.
No. Look at Angus Brayshaw. A very young man in terms of football.
Paddy McCartan.
As soon as they get a little slight knock, they're out. They're out the following week. Now they're being rested for about a month to 6 weeks and then coming back with helmets on.
And you've got big Benny Griffiths, of course, from Richmond, who's still a long-term
proposition.
So,
more and more players. So, for me, no, he does not play Friday night, which is a big blow to the Adelaide Crows. But, Lou, we got a duty of care here.
The duty and the health. So, let's take the picture bigger. All right? And the AFL so concerned with the look of the game on and off the field. And I say that with... no tongue planted in cheek.
No, you don't.
Being serious here today.
No.
Why haven't the AFL stepped in, or you would hope that the AFL right now are planning for an end-of-season discussion with club doctors? Because I would imagine every club doctor out there is going, I would love it if the AFL were to come in with a brand-new blanket rule that if you are concussed that week in football, you don't play the next week. Because it will allow three things. One, that the player can go about his recovery without any press concerns or storylines.
Correct.
Doctors, there's no pressure on them to make sure that they're absolutely right to go. Even if they are passing the test, you may have a gut feel they're not right.
And
then it takes the pressure out of the player trying to prove he's right so he can go away and recover.
Yep, his well-being.
Do you know what I mean?
Yep, I agree.
And I think that, most importantly, as the governing body, I think that's your job, is it not? Now, I know we're 55 officials short at the moment and the boss has gone on holidays, which is a different issue altogether. The Triple M Twitter poll running on that one too, whether you think Gil should be taking a break during the football season.
He's in France, Lee.
He's gone to the tour. I just wonder why the AFL doesn't get proactive and go, well, it's our game. We change rules and interpretations of rules 5 a year.
Yeah.
Why aren't we looking after the safety of our individuals? I know we've cleaned the game up. The head is sacrosanct. So why don't we go that step further and make sure that if you do get a head blow, you actually, everybody, take a breath, have a week to make sure everything's okay.
Well, obviously the AFL give the doctors full authority on ruling out a player because they're the experts. They back them in. So they make them make the decisions for the player.
But you are the one, you're the governing body. You determine what OHS is.
Yeah.
And everybody else complies with it.
We've read it.
And if you want to take duty of care a tad higher by having the week off, I don't think anyone's going to shoot you down, are they?
How do we monitor it in grassroots footy?
Because that's the big one. I go to you now, all right? So you don't have the people around with the training.
No.
Guy gets a knock, comes off, staggers around for a bit, comes back, and you go, are you all right? You go, oh, yeah. And he goes, I'm all right, because I saw the boys on TV on Friday night get up and wave them off. Your trainers are part-timers.
Correct.
Come on. Knackers, you got to come off. Nah, go and tell Jarvis to go and get stuff.
Yeah,
come.
I'm good.
All of a sudden, you get cleaned up again.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you might have the nice little.
So, who takes the responsibility?
You could have a massive civil case on you.
Correct.
But if the AFL lead from the top, and we've seen it with the jumper punches and the kids copying, they'll copy. So, take the worry out of it. Get proactive.
I like it.
Have health and safety concerns first and foremost. set it up and go, right, as of next year, boys, anyone diagnosed with concussion, automatic week.
So you'll see Slaney on Friday night playing for the Crows then?
I would hope not.
Okay.
Oh, the big man, Tex Walker. He's flying a little close to the sun under the Misdemeanor Act of the AFL. Yeah, of course, got fined again for a little off-the-ball incident with Jordan Lewis. Didn't catch on camera. Umpires saw it. Throw that in with the fine he picked up with pushing accidentally Jason Johannesson into the goalpost the previous week. Leaves him on the cusp of another misdemeanour, getting an automatic week.
Okay.
All right. In ripping touch, Texan.
Well, he
and
is.
Playing the style of footy that a lot of people, me included, were hoping that he would get to in terms of just that, you know, that presence out on the ground and the little bit of a physical nature in terms of, you know, being intimidating to a degree.
Mm.
4 goals, 4 last week, 21 touches. The week before against the Dogs, 3 goals, 1, 7 marks, 3 or 4 tackles each game, 41-26 for the year. Starting to play a really good brand of footy.
Well, he's stepped up, hasn't he?
Absolutely.
Right.
But I'll put this to you now. Now that he is a little bit close to the sun when it comes to this misdemeanor stuff, I hope he doesn't go back into his shell. Now, that's the storyline that's getting run a bit today. Now, I'm pretty sure he won't. But then I had a bit of a think about it, and I've got a theory for you, and I did some research that this, I suppose, these two incidents will stick with him no matter how deep Adelaide go through to in September. And the same applies for Port Adelaide. Now, I'm not sure how many blokes over there are sitting on 1 or 2 strikes in relation to the misdemeanor stuff, but if Port are going to go deep, they're going to face the same problems, and it's this. Tex will have that hanging over his head right through September. So if the Crows were to play 4 finals or 3 finals and then a grand final, he would be on the cusp of a suspension and missing the very next game every single time he goes out.
May miss a grand final.
Yeah. And as we know in finals are cutthroat. So it's even greater in the sense of what you're trying to achieve out there. I'm just a little confused that we don't get a reset of these misdemeanors because initially they're set out and correct me if I'm wrong for the home and away season and in relation so you don't lose a Brownlow medal.
Yeah.
Now Brownlow medal votes only happen in the home and away season. So why aren't we following tennis's lead with Hawkeye and challenges that when they get to a tie break, they get a reset and they go back to 3?
Yeah, okay.
Oh, well, I think you get one out. So why aren't we in the AFL? I mean, 4 weeks of finals footy is a long time.
Yeah.
Soccer, you see in soccer all the time, the coach will tell you, mate, you've got so many yellow cards hanging over you. Get another one, get the suspension out of the way so we can get back.
You know? And then they reset, don't they?
Once they do that. Back to go. It's like, you know, so if Tex rolls in, it might not just be Tex, it might be some key players at 3 or 4 other clubs. The AFL has a feel about itself that it wants our best players playing all the time. We've seen that with the MRP. Shown again with Dusty Martin across the weekend.
Correct.
I think we want our best stars out there playing unencumbered come September, don't we?
Because you don't want the players to lose that vigour. I don't want Tex, like you said, to go in his shell. We need Tex to play with that vigour.
Tex of the last 2 weeks, demeanour, right on the money.
Nice.
Right
and
on
don't
the
change.
Money. Nice balance. A little bit silly with the Lewis one, but easily the JJ could have gone the other way without being in this situation.
No.
But do you
but
get
to
my
reset
point?
Come finals, I don't think the AFL will look at that.
But don't you think that's a good idea? You've asked them, you've given them the tools for 23 weeks of the home and away season. And again, reminding everyone it was bought in so you don't lose a Brownlow. Yeah. That was why it was bought in.
Yeah.
We're in finals.
Right? And you want your good players playing in finals.
You certainly do.
Your stars.
But what you want, surely when we get to September, we go, right, everybody who is sitting on the cusp, you drop down one. You don't have to absolve completely.
No, but you've got some breathing space.
So you've got one up your sleeve because 4 games, if you were to be like the Dogs, 4 games in September. And if so Tex, and Roosie's coming up later, and I'll ask him, let's put Roosie's prelim final test. Would you want a guy like Tex Walker, if he did something similar to Johannesson in a final, missing a grand final because of that?
No, not at all.
Surely you wouldn't, would you?
Destroy you, break your heart.
But if you were, when he made September, everybody who's on 2 close gets brought back to 1. It's not like getting out of jail free, but at least you're bringing it down so you've got that breathing space. Because surely in September we're applying the same principles. We want our best players playing.
Because as an opposition coach and opposition players, guess who you target? Guess who's on the whiteboard in red texter?
Or you're sitting there hoping, hey, we're going to get them
let's
next
push
week.
Into the
Jeez,
edge.
I hope somebody terrorises
him. Yeah, let's push him
there
because he'll flip.
And we won't get him later on crossing over.
Yeah. It's not bad. Reset for finals.
Well, they do.
Where do you come up with these good ideas?
You know,
Where do you come up with this stuff?
When you're an ideas man and you're sitting in an airport and you don't have, you know, because of the company.
You can't get back.
The company won't pay you for Virgin Club or Qantas Club.
Here he goes.
So you're sitting out there in the outer with everybody else. Just looking at your donut shop going, geez, Jars would love me to bring home 24 of those bad boys from the Krispy Kreme shop. I sit there and I go, hang on a minute.
How long are you there?
Imagine if we were able to just sort of like in tennis,
get an extra challenge
or bring it back one so our best players could keep playing and Jars would stay skinny because they don't have to go and buy
and
the donuts.
Good staff and get the good seats on the plane to get back home.
And not fly home at 9 o'clock 5 hours after the game. What else have I got?
I'm going to collapse.
Is there insufficient force versus sufficient intent? I don't know where I am at the moment. Bloody footy.
Trent is waiting to come in.
Oh, don't even get me started. Remember, everybody, if you're doing a contract, read it, understand it, and then sign it.
On Triple M's Rush Hour, it's time for our favourite Warren. Because I'm Warren. Gary Trent Reid.
Good stuff.
Well, he's a little fired up today. He's up and about Port Adelaide and flying along nicely. Whiz, welcome.
Slowly, slowly.
Well, keep it quiet on the down low. You got a little bee in your bonnet, and you want to use the Patrick Dangerfield press conference yesterday as your sort of benchmark.
Now, I think a reminder to both our Adelaide clubs, both Port and Adelaide, is that we can be better in the media. Patrick Dangerfield right now, we know he's got a busted ankle or leg or whatever, bone bruising, moon boot.
Right.
If that was our football clubs yesterday, we'd sneak him in the back door. Mm. We'd say, nothing wrong, won't give any information, subject to medical. We'd sit on scans for 3 or 4 days, won't reveal it, tell people the real story. Mm. Right? Mm-hmm. Patrick Dangerfield arrives in a moon boot right in front of the cameras. Yeah, he might like the camera work too. Don't worry about that.
Yes.
But he gets up, then he talks about it. He plays his skit as a sledge to Kane.
I thought it was great. I love the fact that's refreshing to see.
It's open. Mm. We're not now going, oh, how bad is this? Is there a break? How bad is it? Well, he kicks 5 goals, so it can't be too bad.
Yeah. Well,
but he reveals straight up he's got his bone bruising. Because a couple of examples that really annoyed me is Andrew Fagan told me to my face that there was nothing wrong with Josh Jenkins. I know from a fact, from the first scan, there was something wrong. He had a break.
Right.
The thing I don't like about this, one, the message is skewed. The main bit is the fans don't find out. And also in particular, when Tom Lynch, as well as Josh Jenkins, was ruled out with a virus, what do we all say? Soft.
But the club did come out and say Tommy Lynch had a virus.
Yeah, a virus. He's ruled out on a Wednesday with a virus.
Didn't
what does a virus
he was in
sound
ICU,
like?
Did they?
Didn't say it was serious.
But the
didn't
clubs
say
don't have to tell the media what's wrong with their players.
Mate, the fans are calling them soft. They're not actually protecting their player jars. That's my point.
See, I'm going to give you a couple of examples and tell me whether you think this would have happened here in Adelaide. And again, I don't know whether I agree or not with you just yet, Treads, but Todd Goldstein, North Melbourne put him up straight after he missed that shot to win the game, which I thought was great.
Yeah.
Goal King, doubt it.
Melbourne Football Club put Tom Bug up.
No way.
Straight after he had the mind explosion where he got Kel Mills.
Yes, they did. Yes.
Went straight up on the cameras.
Yeah.
Would our two clubs here have done that?
No way. They try and control the message.
No, they wouldn't.
That's my point here, Jars.
No, they wouldn't.
They wouldn't have put Patrick Dangerfield up in that instance with the moon boot.
No, they
try and
hide
the moon boot.
They would have put him away.
Mm.
Now, Dom Pike.
Yeah.
What's your concern with Pikey?
Geelong Friday night?
Massive
big
game.
Big questions.
What?
Are they going to change the way they play?
What for? They're winning.
But
what do you want to change this for?
Jars, listen. Before you just go, I'm a Crows man wearing my jumper, listen. The last five occasions, they've lost in a row, haven't they?
Yes, they have.
They've all been beaten the same way.
Yes, they have.
Smashed out of the midfield, spare man tears them apart.
And locked down on Sloane.
Yep.
Something needs to change. You can't let them have a spare man, even though Adelaide want to play with it.
I think
you
a lot
need
depends
to change
on
the way, the mentality of the coach's box.
Can I
Don't go
here?
In with a plan. Come and get some versatile players. And I don't reckon their list is versatile enough.
I think a lot will depend on whether P. Dangerfield comes across.
Well, what happens if both don't play?
Well, then it's...
They've got Selwood and you've got...
Yeah. I reckon they'll run Luke Brown with Selwood. Now, with rising George star Bush. Before you go.
Well, I've got some numbers for you.
Good.
Joel Selwood won it way back in...
2007, first year when they won the flag.
Yep.
19 touches, four tackles, three clearances, seven contested ball, and he kicked a goal every three games.
Mm-hmm. What name are we going to see on the medal?
Well, medallion? I think it's going to come potentially from three players.
Well, give me their names, please.
Well, Burton's one.
Ryan Burton. Hawthorne.
Another one.
Essendon.
Yeah. And Port Adelaide's Power Pepper.
Yeah.
And I told you about those possessions.
Yep.
Well, I looked up some numbers yesterday. Power Pepper averages 18 disposals, so one less.
Yeah.
Four tackles, which is the same. Mm-hmm. Three clearances, which is the same per game. Jeez. He's got 9 contested disposals, two more, and he's kicked 15 goals out of 16 games.
That's some talent That's some talent there.
Compare him. He's standing up against the bigger bodies.
All the time.
In the cauldron, which is fantastic. And he's going to win it. You know why?
Why?
Sam Pell Pepper. Because he's got a great new nickname that I'm going to run with right now. From this point on, I'm calling him Tinder.
That's harsh. Because everyone knows what Tinder is.
It's to do with
what?
What do you do on Tinder if you like something?
Don't you flick it to the right?
You swipe right. What does he do every time when he's involved? He swipes right.
When did you think of that when you're on Tinder?
Yeah, where were you? No, in the airport.
Yesterday, flying home.
Four inch.
What about that?
Four inch.
Swipe right.
He does every time he's let go of the ball.
Swipe right. He's getting a lot of matches.
We love him, though. We love the way he plays. Did you like that or not?
That's good.
And if Tinder's not your thing, get on Tumblr.
Is that what you do, Jazz?
He flogs calling Friday night.
Is that what he does when he rolls down the hill?
Buzz off.
Tumblr.
Barry calls me the elite.
No, it's got nothing to do with that sort of tumbling. There's lots of things. There's house stuff on there.
Are you flogs calling Friday night?
Yeah. And then we're flying to Melbourne Saturday to do it all again.
You reckon we're going to be happy hanging out with each other? And we're coming home, right, Jetstar. Champ. We're wrapped.
Yeah. Don't start whacking the.
See so you can sit on the at the airport for as long as possible.
Beat the end of the week.
Hey, yeah, I met the new one.
Is that where he met her on Tinder?
No, I was going to say. So
physical violence.
I was just going to ask whether Treds had cancelled his Tinder subscription. Sorry, Treds.
The next billion seconds are the most important in human history as technology transforms the way we live and work. The smartphone, barely a decade old, has given billions access to information and capacities they've never had before. It's changing what we can do, and it's changing the shape of the future. So what does that future look like? Hi, I'm Mark Pesce, the host of The Next Billion Seconds, a new show on Podcast One. Join me as I speak to some of the brightest minds shaping that world, the people who are spending their lives forming that future. We'll hear about their work in helping shape those next billion seconds. Listen at podcastone.com.au or on the Podcast One app.
Now, Juice, you've got a story for us of sacrifice.
Yeah, I have, Lou. A couple of my young players, Benny Bioli and Jimmy Mapstone. Now, Benny Bioli's about 6'4", 100 kgs. He's your big plugger full forward at Gazer. Mm-hmm. Cult figure down there.
Yep.
And Jimmy Mapstone's a bit of a cheeky scallywag within our footy side. Now, both made a commitment after the gaze of Ballou that they're going to go dry for a month.
Yep.
They're going to sacrifice Lou.
Dry July.
Absolutely. I was so proud of them. They're only 20 years old, not even 21 yet. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so Saturday was their first week as Saturday that they've been off the turf. So Saturday night after the club, there they were drinking their Diet Coke.
Nice.
So a lot of 21st birthday parties happening around town because of their inner sanctum of their friends. So they go to this 21st. Good and I just times. Thought I'd share it with you.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's Benny Bioli, 6'4", and Jimmy Mapstone, no taller than, say, 5'10".
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
They go to this 21st.
Yeah.
Now, Jimmy Mapstone, who's a good-looking young rooster.
Yep.
And no doubt attracts the young ladies. Sitting on the couch with Benny.
Yeah.
So, but they go to the 21st with a carton of Diet Coke.
On shoulder?
On shoulder.
Oh,
walked in with a carton of Diet Coke because they can't. So they sat there watching all their mates having a good night. Mm. You know, the
getting
music's
loose.
Blaring.
And
do you want a beer, boys? No, we've made a commitment to the footy club. We're just going dry for a month. You know, good boys.
Excellent.
Two A graders. Jimmy Mapstone started getting the shakes.
Oh, no.
And just said, right, that's it. Within an hour of being at this 21st,
couldn't deal
grab
with it.
Benny Bioli, Big Benny.
Big
we're
Ben.
Going to the pictures.
Yeah.
We're going to the movies, but Louis.
The flicks.
They're going to the flicks.
Got to get out of there.
They've never been to the flicks. But they can't cope with the pressure of not having a froth.
Right, okay.
So they go to the flicks.
Distraction game, I
Benny
like it.
Bioli goes, well, go and see this movie.
Oh, right.
Called Baby Driver.
Uh-oh.
Now, here's two socialites of Adelaide sitting in the flicks, getting the shakes.
Seat between.
I don't know. Watching Baby Driver.
Jeez.
Ben Biolis' comments were, this is a shit movie.
Oh.
We've got to leave halfway through. So then they've packed up with their carton of Diet Coke and just went home at 9 o'clock that night.
Stumps.
Done.
Stumps.
Now, that's 9:30 then. That's just starting a party.
Yeah.
But fantastic commitment. I just thought I'd share that with the family. There's no doubt great stories out there within the local football clubs coming in the finals.
Mm.
Who's making a sacrifice?
Are you one of those coaches that sort of like your players to maybe refrain when they head into the September action, whereas... Yeah, all year, do what you got, done what, to get you there, mate. Are you one of those coaches that makes some sort of change?
Yes, I am.
Are you really?
Yes, I am.
Why would you do that?
Because I need them ready, mentally and physically, for September.
What do you
and
think
as
got
you know,
to?
You got to stand up.
Yeah, you know, the reason, you know, if, what
they've
name?
Already made one commitment.
What
these boys.
What's the name of those two blokes?
Benny Bioli and Jimmy Mapstone.
Benny Bioli and Jimmy Mapstone. That not only are they not drinking, they're not getting their other nocturnal activity. All right. And you're messing with mind, body, and soul.
they went to Baby Driver.
And you of all people, mind, body, and soul, earth
My
yourself,
boys,
Jess Jarman.
Yeah,
you know if they don't get what they need,
I've told them
they're not going to play well.
Then shut it down.
So and you wanted to share that with us.
Well, it's quiz with no name.
Tell you what, you sure though, Benny Bioli, what is his name?
Jimmy Mapstone, Mapsy.
You sure they don't play for the New South Wales Blues and weren't on a bender 5 days out before Origin?
The can of Diet Coke, please.
The Rush Hour's quiz with no name. Thanks to Automasters.
Your drive home isn't always smooth, but make sure your car runs smoothly. Call 1-300-AUTOMASTERS.
Did you get one of the Roosters a flag?
Yeah, but we lost three, Lou.
Yeah.
But as a coach?
Yeah.
No, we lost one. Almighty, the Central Districts dynasty. I think Hazy was playing.
Yeah.
Were you?
I did, mate. That was my first.
Yeah, right.
Oh, well, he's first. Look at him talking like he's got plenty. Yes.
I wasn't trying to sound like a big
You did. You were.
Oh, it's hard not to be Hazy.
Struck around going with counter.
I mean, it was probably an easy afternoon. Was it Hazy, the first one?
Mate, I was a passenger. Don't worry about that.
Paul Roos coming up very, very soon. He is no passenger. He will give us all the insights into what has been a massive week in AFL juice. Who is lucky enough to be playing for the $1,000 today, thanks to Automasters?
We're going to go to Mount Barker and say hello to Sean. G'day, Shawnee. Thanks for holding on, mate.
No worries. How are you, fellas?
We're good, Shawnee. A bit crisp and wet out up your way or not?
It's always crisp and wet up on Mount Barker.
All right. You're selling us, mate. You're selling us big time. 10 questions, 60 seconds. Time starts at the end of that first one. Don't know an answer, say pass. We get back to it. And Automasters Lifeline, you good with it?
Yep.
All right. And if you're lucky with Hazy on the buttons, 50 might turn into 100.
Could be $1,000 with Hazy.
I'm always generous.
Good luck, mate. Here's Juice.
Which current Port Adelaide player was drafted to the West Coast in 2007?
Brad Ebert.
Name the world champion surfer who broke his foot at J Bay. And Kane Corn says he exaggerates a bit.
Slater.
Which former Crow has accepted a two-match ban for striking Little Eddie Betts?
Bernie Vince.
Which women's cricketer is now the top-ranked ICC one-day international all-rounder? Which women's cricketer?
Elise Perry.
Which South Australian young gun re-signed with the Hawthorn Football Club yesterday, Sean O?
Burton.
Sean, what is the name of the new Adelaide United coach?
Automasters.
What sanctions did Taylor Walker cop from the MRP yesterday?
$1,000 fine.
What AFL side was Michael Voss the previous head coach of?
Brisbane.
How many games did Paul Roos play for his AFL career? 346 or 356?
346.
What does FFA stand for, quick?
Football Federation of Australia.
Oh, this will test us. Oh, this is big. Just methodical he was. Sean from Mount Barker.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Shawnee.
Correct.
Bad luck, mate.
Oh, mother.
That was terrific.
Roosie.
Shawnee. We're going to round you up to a hunch because I don't want to break it. All right, the only one you didn't get, Marco Kurtz, is the new coach at Adelaide United. Well, used.
I thought I automastered that one, didn't I?
You did. Hey, if you just slow down, let him finish, mate. I was just going to say that's where you went with automaster, so that was well played.
Yeah. Oh,
number nine. How many games did Paul Roos play in his AFL career?
Oh, he played 346 or 356.
You said it right, mate. 356. All right, that is it. That has cost you $900. That question.
So you can't win them all.
You can't. You've won $100, mate. Well played.
Thanks very much, fellas.
Right, running a poll off the back of the two AFL executives getting fired for having affairs, finding out what the family thinks, Jazz. Where are we at with our Twitter poll?
Okay, Lulu, 36% said it's their private lives. So that's 36%. 28% says the resignation was the right call.
Yep.
That's 28. And 38% says, Lou, who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares, Lou? 38% of the Twitter family.
As Neil Mitchell called them, the AFL, the moral police of Victoria.
Yeah, he has too. I read that.
All right. There is a lot of interest in Friday night's big game of football where the Adelaide Crows taking on the Cats, not only because it is 1v2 and it has massive ramifications for top four and everything else, but it also is to see whether the Adelaide Crows can break a 5-0 losing streak against the Cats. And, of course, the way the style they play, the Cats have been able to handle Adelaide's out-the-back gun-and-run style quite comfortably over the last fast times. It hit Melbourne Radio today. Here is the lone wolf himself, Gary Lyon, asking that very question.
How big is this game for Don Pike as a coach?
Probably his biggest game as coach. The last five times they've played, Geelong's beaten them. We went down to Skilled Stadium earlier in the year and watched Geelong play the same sort of footy that they have struggled to deal with Adelaide, and Adelaide served up exactly the same style. So for Don Pike, we go over there on Friday night and we see how he responds to that.
And I think rightly so.
Why is it his biggest game as a senior coach?
Well, is it
wouldn't it be the finals? The final series would be his biggest games as a senior coach?
Coming up it will be, but right now you would imagine, you know this better than most, when you get the wood on a team, it's something you'd like to be broken prior to if we were to meet again in the finals. You don't want that hanging over because
that
is something.
I agree with that.
Player doubt and all that sort of other stuff, which you don't want, can creep in. I think it's a really great test, and I'm really confident, very confident that Adelaide have the tools to beat the Cats. And I reckon they've learnt sufficient enough, especially that last game with a few of the subtle changes he did down there that only just got rolled. I know they had to come from a fair way back, but I reckon he did enough in that sort of last quarter and a bit just to put into his playbook and his notes to
just
go, right, if we don't get it on our terms, we're going to be able to do something differently to make sure we can change the outcome of this game.
He'll back in his current game style. He'll back in what's been working, Lou. But then, like you said, after halftime, if there's three or four goals down, then you like to see the little trick bag come in.
And the big one is, will Dangerfield play? I think that in itself will have as much in the saying of what happens in this game of footy. And for Adelaide, Rory Sloan. Now, we discussed this at the top of our show, and for the 5 o'clockers who've just joined us, so I'm heading home. Sloaney, the concussion, you and I are both probably of the opinion that at some point in time something's going to have to give here from head office, and almost we need to make a ruling that if you get concussed, you don't play the following week.
No, I agree. Rory Sloane should not be selected on Friday night because of what happened last weekend, and I'll tell him that tomorrow night when he's on the show.
Because they're all
there's
about
no way he should be playing.
Their new slogan is the look. It's either a good look or a bad look, and right or wrong, and whether Sloaney passes all the tests and gets it all right.
Yeah.
That was a bad look the other night.
It was a terrible look,
wasn't it? Nobody wants
to
see that.
It was sickening.
And you can only imagine his parents sitting back and watching, and Belinda, his loved ones. The sooner the AFL take it out of everybody's hands, the better it will be. And they'll do it off the back of good advice, which they've got. They've got leading advice on all
and
this.
And I like what you said before in 4 o'clock, Lulu, about Joel Selwood. He's the benchmark.
Well, the greatest one was Selwood got knocked out clean, did the heroic thing. He didn't get on stretcher, ran off. And they loved it. Passed all his tests.
Yep.
Flew to Sydney.
Yep.
Didn't play.
There you go.
Now, if it's good enough for Joel Selwood to sit one out, I think it's good enough for the rest of us. All right.
Enough said.
But Sloaney in tomorrow. Do not miss it. 5:10. We're going to talk to Sloaney. First thing will be, how are you feeling? And have you got a little concussion test
we'll
for him?
We'll do one for him.
Yep.
Where's Roosey?
Paul Roos. work with me here. Hazy, I already know, works on my sort of levels.
Does he? Right. And what's that? What's that level?
So Hazy and I are in the front. We're in the front bar in Byron Bay. And we've got our mobiles with us. And it's just starting to go down well. We put on a great presentation. He's been up on stage singing a few numbers. I've been wowing the crowd with a couple of great stories
of
days gone by.
You got some
And the crowd is building.
Right, okay.
All of a sudden, it's that little flash on your phone. It's Jarvis Louie. And, of course, your phone, Hazy, it's on silent, isn't it? And we're going, it's Triple M Adelaide. And I'm going,
Actually, how many have you had?
Actually, probably 5 to 6. So we're not so deep that we're cactus and we'd be entertaining, but we're going, technically speaking, I'm here with the Triple M bosses. Yeah. So if I were to miss this call, and let's be honest, it's a couple of lightweights from Adelaide calling me up.
Number one.
And I'm here representing the company in, you know, and God, I give it all every single week. So I go, I'll just hit that on silent again, put that so the screen fades to black, and I'll say, Hazy, what are you having? It must be your shout. Let's go again.
That's you doing a snitty?
That's what he's doing. No, it's too early for snitty, mate. It's too early to get to remember the time difference. Yeah, you know, we're up there. We're looking at boys are coming back in for the evening wave.
Yeah.
Numbers
he's
are
one
up.
Of our biggest guests on the show.
Strop's come down from the mountain.
Strop's not well.
We're on the most eastern point of Australia. Life doesn't get any better. We're ringing up the New South Wales Blues boys who are at Lennox Head on Wednesday. Are you coming up for a beer with us? We're ready to go. That's what Hazy and I are doing with Roosie. We're not sitting here going, I want to talk to Jars and Louie. Jeez, I can't wait to get on and hear some of Jars' question. Hey, ask me a question about the MRP. Oh, yeah, what a lot of fun that's going to be. Oh, what else? Oh,
is
what
are you Jill McLaughlin with you?
Yeah. Oh, I bet you Jars comes up with that, how he saved, I saved his life story again over in LA. Port Adelaide got a massive game of footy coming up this Saturday. MCG taking on the Demons. Seventh, the Demons versus fourth. Big game in the schemes of things of Port Adelaide and their evolution, Jar, and where they're going to be at and whether they can hang on to top four and give themselves a real big crack at it. Right. So we're talking about Bernie Vince, the beloved Bernie Vince, of course, everybody's favourite South Australian playing in Melbourne. He's got a 2-week holiday for just a stupid little elbow to Eduardo Betts, and also he steamrolled Richie Douglas and was really lucky he didn't hurt Dougie. He's been doing a couple of stupid things of late, Bernardi, and just sort of wondering, and I'm not definitive at all on this one, but whether the game, and it's quickened up a fair bit this year. He's averaging 4 or 5 touches less this year, down to about 21 from 25, 26. Right. Whether it's just getting hold of him, and he's getting a bit frustrated as he gets that little bit older and the game gets that bit quicker.
But, Lou, what's his role on the side?
Well, I know he's an antagonist tagger at the moment.
Until he shut down slowly until Slaney got himself knocked out. He held him to about 8 touches.
Yeah, don't worry about that.
I think Bernie's playing his role within that side as that aggressive lockdown tagger, which Melbourne have never had in the past.
No.
So I don't mind. I think he's playing okay. I think he's doing well. I've got no issue with his form.
Because he's still one of the best kicks in the competition.
Absolutely. But it's a bit hard.
He's not using the footy.
Yeah, but that's like not his role, Lou.
Yeah, but he's sitting out of the side. Well, it is his role.
His role's to shut down the best opposition on baller.
And still at times get a kick and be used. He's not tagging super tag circle around every single week at the moment. And he had, in fact, last year played a great year across halfback.
Very good.
And he played some great footy. And I just that Eddie Elbow, we've seen a couple of other incidents.
That was stupid.
And I suppose
he'd be the first to admit that.
And what it does, though, it just puts you under the pump because Melbourne are going to have a lot of players returning in a minute and they're looking to experience their first final series. And this game's a massive one for them. It just leaves them short because you've already got Nathan Jones out with that quad. You've already got Jack Viney out with that foot, who's a real outside chance this week. Jack Watts should be back from a hamstring. Yeah. And you're also going to get Dom Tyson back. If Burns in there, because I'm thinking right now you're going to go, well, if you're playing Port Adelaide, you're probably going to need your tagger, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah. Who are you tagging? You're tagging Wingard?
Well, I would nearly think. But he's spending a bit of time forward as well.
Yeah.
And Bradley Ebert seems to do run with roll, so it's hard to tag a bloke that's trying to tag. But
it is.
I just see the Demons as
a bit fragile.
Yeah, well, I think they're still unders. I think it's a really good chance for Port to have another win here.
I think Port will win, absolutely, because they've got a lot of good players out.
But the shift with the Demons, and probably my big point with Goody, is he's been asked a bit, have they got a discipline problem? Now, Jesse Hogan, Jordan Lewis from early in the year, silly punches, weeks.
Yep.
Of course, you've got Clayton Oliver, who was a bit of stage and then into the fan over the fence, which I didn't mind that at all, and I thought the apology was ridiculous. Because if someone's going to call you names over the fence just because I call you a couple back, I wouldn't apologise.
Gloves are off.
Thomas Bug incident. And then all of a sudden, you know, you're missing some of your key players.
Yeah, you are.
You've got a couple of injuries to a couple of stars. Yep. They were as skinny as on the weekend. They were never going to beat Adelaide.
Nah.
Never, ever. But they've been likened to a Hawthorn under the evolution of Alistair Clarkson, and that is the Unsociable Hawks when that tag came out in 2007, 2008.
Yep.
Is Goody on the right track in the sense that they haven't quite worked out where the line is and they're copping a little bit overs because they'd rather be edgy and having a crack as opposed to being Meeker Mong. Do you see that evolution? Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah,
as well?
I think that's where he's going with it, but I still think they're 12 months away from understanding how far they can take that unsociable football that gave Hawthorn a fantastic premiership. So I think Goody's on the right path. We know that he'll only pick contested ball players, so he works on inside.
Then out.
Because he wants those hard, tough players inside. Look, you know, the way they've been playing this year, Lou, it's going to guarantee maybe some finals football by playing this type of unsociable football. But you're right, there's been some stupid acts from some of these young players.
Yeah, it doesn't get any bigger, this game. Well, Port Adelaide can really put them to the sword this week and knock them out of business, basically, because the Saints have got to beat Sydney. So they're in all sorts. Melbourne have got to keep on winning if they think they want to hang around. Yeah. Essendon are coming thick and fast. The Dogs got their act together on the weekend. It looked like they might be able to put a couple together.
Don't write off, you know, you got Eagles are just lurking.
Yeah, and Eagles are back
in
the eight. Yeah. So that Melbourne, you would think Cindy, so of the top six, so Adelaide, Geelong, GWS, Port Adelaide, Richmond, not really going to falter.
No.
You'd think the way the Swans are playing at the moment, they're not going to give up their spot. So that leaves two spots.
Right.
Melbourne seventh, West Coast eighth, St Kilda, who are ninth, out on percentage, and Essendon, who are a game back in 10th, who will rue the day they let Brisbane run over them and the game they let slip in Sydney. So for Melbourne, if you're Melbourne, for all the good they've done,
I know,
they're every chance to get a good... You know how Port can play at the MCG sometimes?
They love playing there.
If Port were to get hold of them, the Demons would be back right in the quagmire.
Because of some undisciplined acts along the way.
Some bit of bad luck, but also just... And the other one, the big story is, they're selling games to Darwin.
Nah, stop doing
they're
that.
They're going past
you
that,
don't need
they?
That now.
And the AFL needs to go, hey, you like...
Yeah, nah, bring them back.
You can draw 40 or 50, no dramas. Yeah, you can make your money.
Can I go back to your question about Bernie Vince? Yes. Do you think he, with some of these quality players coming back in the next two or three weeks, do you think he's going to struggle to hold his spot?
No, all I know is that
the game's gone
past I know is that Simon Goodwin wants genuine leg speed.
Okay.
Right? And when you come back into that lineup, Nathan Jones is a plotter.
Yeah.
Right. Viney's got a little bit of toe.
Yeah.
Dom Tyson's a plotter.
Yep.
Right. Byrne, off a back flank, absolutely, using the footy, playing that really good role out the back where him and Jones. But if Byrne's just in there to be an antagonist, well, then I'd be starting to wonder. There might be a use-by date. And I hate to say that about Burns. I think he's been a great player.
Okay.
Best and fairest at two clubs.
Righto, buddy.
But you know what I mean? Yep. Last year, I loved his role because he's such a beautiful kick of the footy.
But I still think he's very important for Melbourne.
Yeah, well, I do too. But if that's your job of just running around and being an antagonist, I think Burns is good enough to run with the bloke, beat the bloke, and get his fair share footy and hurt him the other way, as opposed to really going to that all-out aggressive sort of stuff. All right.
On Triple M's Rush Hour. Bruce's left foot kick is please welcome Paul Roos.
Ah, the super coach, we found him. Roosie, welcome to the Rush Hour.
Good evening, gentlemen. How are you?
Now, have you returned from the lovely Byron?
No, I'm in Byron speaking to the crew on Thursday morning. So in the meantime, I got a text from Louis Jowers. I don't know if you know this, but he texted me to see if I can get you guys a pay rise. So I'm going to try and sort that out for you tomorrow.
That'd be much appreciated, mate. You know the sort of work we put in behind the scenes.
Oh, rude.
No, exactly. Really? I know. So I'm going to make sure by the time I leave here Thursday, after speaking to the crew, that you're well valued.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised if an extra zero goes on your contract.
Oh, you're a good man. Now, mate, Friday night,
if you need any sort of to be able to... Yeah, you know, compare us to someone. I'd probably be the Nat Fife for the show, and I'd be the buddy. And he'd be more like Dave Mundy.
Hey, Roosie, Friday night, Crows v Geelong, a very important game for both footy sides. Now, Rory Sloane, as we know, got knocked out last week against Melbourne. As a senior coach, do you play him on Friday night, even though he might have ticked all the boxes?
Yeah, look, it's very much a medical thing. I think there's still a little bit of confusion around. Coaches play. I suspect Adelaide would be similar to Melbourne and every other team. The match committee would come around. There'd be a medical report on Rory. And I suspect the middle of the week when you're picking your team, it'd be, look, we want to wait. You know, we want to see by Friday. And then probably where the coach comes in, it might be, if it's a young player, you might say, look, if you can't train Thursday or Wednesday, whenever their last training session is, we don't want him to play. If it's a Rory Sloane, I suspect all the coach would say, look, as long as he's fine by Friday night, But we need to make sure, you know, you give me a call Friday morning, see him Friday morning. So I think that's the only real input that a coach would have. Other than that, it'd be purely and simply whether the doctor clears him to play.
Ruzi, do you think we need to head in the direction, and that being the AFL from a health and safety point of view, that maybe it's an automatic week if you do get knocked out or concussed?
Oh, I think really what we need is, it'd be great, I don't know whether it's press comments or whether it's an article in the paper. Look, you'd love to hear from the medical staff because it is very much a medical issue. I suppose the counter argument to the week off is how players would react in game time, you know, in terms of the honour system and how they're going to try and get up straight away.
Yep.
I don't have the expertise to do that, but being a footballer, if you knew you were going to definitely miss a week, I mean, you know, do you start to try and fudge things, you know, game day, not tell the doctor you've got blurred vision or you're starting to get a headache or whatever it might be. So I think it has to be a doctor. But I reckon, given the debate, you'd love to maybe read an article in the paper written by a doc saying, look, you know, this is some of the examples that I've been through, because it very much is a medical issue rather than, you know, I guess the layman like yourself and me and everyone else discussing it, because we just don't have the expertise to know exactly what the, you know, what we can do with it.
Yeah, no, I like where you're heading. I just reckon it might take the pressure off everyone, though, if you've got an automatic
week. Look, I think it's a sound debate. But again, I suppose you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. I know, I think in America it's a mandatory 1 week, and then I think it goes up from memory after two in a year, you get another a 4-weeker or whatever. But look, I think we just got to put the moment, we're going to put the faith in the medical staff. They're all very, very competent at AFL clubs, and let's have a debate about it probably at the end of the year.
Righto, Ruzi, I've got a tennis analogy for you. Tex Walker now, after getting another fine on the weekend, sits precariously on that 2-strike zone on those lower misdemeanours, and that will now hover all the way through the remainder of the season and through the finals. How come we don't, like in tie breaks in tennis with Hawkeye, get a little reset come finals time? Because 4 weeks in the finals, Ruzi, is a long time. Mm. Why don't we downgrade everybody one heading into the final series? So if Tex is on 2, he goes to 1. And if you're on 1, you go to none, because you're playing for keeps. And it was designed and bought in, that little low one, for you not to lose a Brownlow medal. Well, the Brownlow's been and gone after the home and away season.
Yeah, I don't think we've really got it right yet, have we? I mean, see a headbutt and a knee. You know, well, I thought that was distasteful on the weekend. You know, I don't think we've really got it right. Do we want to find, you know, without hanging the young fella? I mean, that's a 4-weeker for me. You know, they're the sort of things that we need to make sure we stamp out of the game. They're the really bad things. And I think was sound bringing in the fines. But look, and I haven't got an answer for you, but I think it was sound bringing it in, but I'm not sure it's working, is it? No. I mean, for me, it's not. I think you're still looking at little jumper punches. You're still looking at, I mean, that headbutt. You could argue, well, it's stopped, but hang on, it's a headbutt. If you did that someone in a pub on the weekend, what would happen to you?
Punched
So I don't reckon we've got it right yet, and I think what you're talking about is probably an extension of that.
Yep.
And I reckon a really good debate, again, at the end of the year, we really need to get this MRP, these fines, the number of weeks, and because some of the things we've seen this year, I reckon, have been pretty ordinary.
Are you going to be available? Because we're ready for the debate, or are you going to be at Collingwood?
No, I'll probably be overseas. So depending on when I have the debate, if we want to have a little conference in Hawaii, I'm happy to.
We'll do the show there. Hey, mate, before I let you go, obviously the AFL office sex scandals being in the news now. Gil McLaughlin's gone on holidays for a week to France.
Speaking on leadership, mate. What
do you
doing?
Agree with that? Do you agree that the CEO of our great competition has to nick off for a week?
Look, we had a bit of a debate about it on Triple M on Sunday, probably before we went on the air, and. Look, unless you sort of know someone's personal circumstances, you know, I know with school holidays, not taking kids out, et cetera, et cetera. Mm. And it also depends on how you actually view the CEO of the AFL. Clearly, if you're an AFL coach, you're not going away this time of year.
No.
But to be fair to the CEO of the AFL, I know there's a lot of stuff that they do in the off-season in relation to whether that be TV rights, you know, Players Association, marketing, sponsorship, and all those sorts of things. So I'm reluctant to comment because I understand the debate around it. I understand people saying, well, why is he away? But I think until you actually know his week to week, his day to day, his family life, et cetera, et cetera. I know the CEO and the people at the Melbourne Football Club, arguably their hardest time is sort of from November through to March when they're trying to bed down membership and sponsorship and all those sorts of things. Yeah. So look, I understand the debate, but I must admit, I'm reluctant to weigh into it because I've sort of been in that situation before with kids and all those sorts of things. So, look, at this stage, I'm prepared to probably back Gill. I mean, he's been around long enough to know what's right and wrong.
Righto, Roosie, beautiful.
Good on you, mate.
Can you lock us in? We are open anytime from the beginning of October to the end of November to come over and debate all those big issues. Beautiful. We'll do the show out of Hawaii. It's okay.
All right. No worries.
Enjoy, all right, Byron.
See you later. We'll do.
And just remember, Nat Fyfe, David Mundy.
That's it. Should be through a text. Let me know what your terms are, you guys.
There he is, the Supercoach, Paul Roos.